This morning, who's been enjoying the book of Colossians? Oh, just a couple of people. Who hasn't even read it at all? It's just kind of like, you know, you left here and, well, that didn't really matter anymore, but you guys can leave. Thanks. Awesome. Good job, Sandy. Yeah. Young Nick, getting better every week. All right. Not that he's bad. All right. Come with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 3. The hope of, yes, the hope. It is the hope. But in Colossians, I'm going to read to you from the New King James Version. Colossians 1, verse 3. Here it is. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Colossians is all about Jesus Christ. Our world should resemble everything about Jesus Christ. And this morning, the title of my message is The Hope of Being Reeled Up to Heaven. Say it with me, the hope of being reeled up to heaven. And so this morning, I want to consider that we actually have God on one end of our fishing rod, if you like, or on the one end of the line, and we're on the other. And that's where I'm going today. Very simple. We can get that. And I just want to give you a little bit of a background before we watch a little YouTube this morning. See, it's my understanding that a lot of recreational fishermen go fishing in hope of catching something. Would I be right? Any budding fishermen, vessels, you're here this morning in hope of catching something. Am I correct? I even know that myself. I mean, I've got a retired fisherman next door to me. And I know sometimes he goes, I don't know where the fish were today. But there's a hope of catching something big or rare or just big for that particular area where they've gone to fish. I happened to be falling asleep watching such a show. There was nothing happening for two nights in a row. I wasn't sitting there for two nights in a row falling asleep. But for two nights in a row, they'd gone out to try and catch a really large, they were looking for an over 300 kilo bluefin tuna. They wanted to catch one on their line. And because they hadn't really caught anything, they weren't really prepared. But then suddenly I awoke from my slumber as I hear all this commotion coming from the television. And then you hear, quick, get me the harness. And then you hear the line going out. As the fish has caught on to the hook. Suddenly my eyes were awake and I'm looking at this incredible scene as they were hoping to catch one of the biggest bluefin tuna ever caught. And eventually after about 6 hours of hard work, muscles, you know, have you ever seen those guys with the deep feet? And they're pulling another guy's wiping his brow. And then, you know, probably a beer comes along as well, and, you know, and the next, and they go, come on, you can do it, man. And they just keep on reeling. And they brought this massive fish to the side of the boat. And they claimed it as a catch. It was actually too big to put on the boat. But let's watch this little video I've got for you this morning. Thanks, guys. That's actually 355 kilograms of bluefin tuna. One of the biggest ever caught, I believe. I wish to speak to you today about more than just bluefin tuna. About the hope you have inside of you. The hope of that is something greater than ever catching just a single fish. The hope that keeps your line taut. The hope that never gives up regardless of the fight. The hope that keeps you and I alive, watchful and on purpose. The hope that makes us pray for others in our faraway countries like we did this morning. The hope that gets us up in the morning and says, Jesus, what have you got for me today? The hope that is not maybe a something, that maybe I'll have a good day today. It's a hope that is inside of us and can never be extinguished. A hope that keeps the poorest person alive. The hope that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can anyone say amen? Don't worry about the wind and everything else. You know, if the roof falls off, that's even better. That's okay. Colossians 1, we need a new roof, I know. Colossians 1, 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. A keen fisherman keeps their hope alive in what they think they may be able to catch. Our ongoing hope is based on fact. And that fact is that our hope is laid up for us in heaven. It's not a maybe one day. It's not a we'll have to wait and see. It's not a I'll keep my options open. It's a reality for every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's glad that they know the truth of the gospel. And whatever is going on in our world, whatever the circumstances, we can rejoice in this hope. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you won't die wondering about what next. You have been transformed by the Word of God. Your spiritual life is alive. You are being pulled toward heaven. You aren't getting off that line no matter what. The sharks may come, but you use your fin and you smack those little critters away. Whatever it is that's causing you harm, whatever it is that wants to get in your way to stop you from the hope of heaven, because your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do nothing but determine to set your face and set your line toward heaven, toward in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul commands Christians to rejoice in hope. We can rejoice in the hope of the Lord Jesus this morning. Romans 12 talks about this. And if indeed the gospel is good news, there is always going to be something to look forward to. You know, Pastor Collie, through all this terrible, he was numb this week. He wanted to talk to me a couple of times. Pastor Collie's our pastor in Liberia. C3 Painesville. And then he started talking about the church. He says, Pastor, I don't know where to put all the people. We've run out of chairs. People get drawn back to Christ through circumstances like this. And he, in some ways, his heart gets excited. It's hard not to when you're a pastor and church is full. But I want to talk about us in the Western world as well, and us in Australia, and our hope should actually be such a desire that no matter what else is happening in our world, we're still focused on the main goal. See, it's easy in some ways when you don't have anything, but when you have everything, I think in a lot of ways it's a lot harder. Would you agree? And Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, I really don't want to be known as the kind of guy who's just a happy, clappy Christian who has lost touch with reality in the real world. You can go that way if you talk about joy and thanksgiving and just, you know, you can forget about it. But we're authentic here at C3, right? We know there's troubles in our world. Is it true? Let me ask you this question, that when Christians set their hearts earnestly and intensely on the future prospect of sharing the glory of God, of seeing the risen Lord, of being freed from sin and sickness, of living in joy for all eternity, when we set our hearts with deep longing and strong confidence on these things, do we become so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly use? Do we become self-centered and fall prey to escapism? And the Bible teaches the exact opposite. A strong confidence in the promises of God and passionate preference for heaven over the joy of the world. And this is what will happen. It will free a person. If we've got the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and we live for him. Yes, we have our world that we live in. We can't escape that in that sense. But there is a difference for every Christian that lives with money, that lives with possessions, that lives with things rather than without. And these are some of those things. Free a person from worldly self-centeredness because we've got Christ in our heart. Free us from paralyzing regret and self-pity because we've got Christ in our heart. Free us from fear. Free us from greed. Free us from bitterness, despair, laziness. It's easy to be lazy, isn't it, when you've got what you need? Impatience, envy. Hope outworks in love. And I don't know of anyone who goes around, I'm passionately in love with heaven. And the problem is not Christians retreating to read the Bible for half the day. More than likely, it's less than 10 minutes, according to the statistics. But we can't be indifferent to the needs of our world. And the problem is more likely that Christians are spending, like I said, maybe 10 minutes reading the Bible and half their time making money and the other half enjoying and repairing what they spend it on. And so I want us to be reminded this morning of who we are and what our purpose is in Christ. Worldly mindedness hinders love. Heavenly mindedness focuses our attention on those things that really matter whilst we're here on earth. Who'd like to make a bigger difference than they are right now in this world? We need to focus on those things that really matter. And we do that because we actually have a great relationship with the Lord, which we're going to discuss in the time remaining this morning. My first point is, if God is going to reel you up toward heaven, stop running out the line. Lord, I know you told me to, you know, give some money for that thing, but those bills. That situation. And here's what this passage says. Since we heard of your faith, Colossians 1:4, in Jesus Christ, and of your love for all the saints, what does the third word say? As I heard. And then it goes on to talk about our love for all the saints. The Colossians have a reputation for their faith and love. Their faith and love have become public. I want to put it to you today that love cannot remain a secret affair. You can try for a while to keep your love for someone a secret, but sooner or later people start realizing that you're together more than you're not. Who's ever been in love for the very first time? No one. You know, I've seen this when people, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends for the first time, they try and keep it a secret. And then you go, hang on, didn't they just leave together from that event? It's very hard when you're in love with someone to keep it a secret, is it not? As much as you want to try sometimes, it's got to come out. You can't stop love. No? Yes? Okay. And then you get married and you have to keep on working to keep your love alive when you're married. And the one thing that is going to help you go from a great relationship before marriage into a great relationship once married is having the same purpose for your life. And if you're here today and your spouse is not, you will likely understand what I'm talking about. God gives you special grace today and wisdom for your future. And praise God that you are in the house because Jesus is Lord. We salute you and we honor you this morning if you're here without your spouse or partner. And Jesus has to be Lord for you to get through all the worldly pulls before marriage. And he has to remain Lord once you are married. And if Jesus is Lord of your life, it will be extremely visible. You don't behave quite the same as a neighbor next door on weekends. Andrew and I only know this too well because, well, of late it's been interesting. Let's just put it that way. I don't have time. You don't wake up in the morning wondering whether you will get through because, you know, well, it was a hard night last night. You have Jesus as Lord of your life. Who's glad they've got Jesus as Lord of their life? You're speaking with him. And the word of God is transforming you toward heaven. But we can try and outrun Jesus. We can be a believer, but really he's not Lord. Because when Sunday comes around, something more important's come up. I'm changing my roster. We can be a believer, but really he's not Lord. Because when Leavers Week comes along, for those of university, my values become their values. But if we really do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our values are greater and we change plans. We make whatever it costs us because Jesus is Lord more than our friends are Lord. Whatever the situation, I'm sure you've got some in your own world. We can be a believing parent, but for 6 months of the year, we'd rather have them in sport than in the house of God. Who's really Lord? The line goes out. I'm running away from God, running away from the things that actually cause and create the spiritual fullness that I need for my life and my family. See, love is an issue of the heart. Say it with me. Love is an issue of the... See, what will make you angry when the offering bucket comes around or what will give you great joy is an issue of the heart. And the same love that compels couples toward each other until it can't be kept a secret is the kind of love which compels us week in, week out to behave in such a manner that shows that we love Jesus. Colossians 1:5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before, they heard it from Epaphras, you hear it from Pastor Andrea and Nigel, you hear it from Steve, you hear it from Greg this morning, is the word of truth of the gospel. Who's glad of the good news of the gospel this morning? The word of God shapes you into a person that Jesus can use for his good news. Who wants to walk out of here and have good news on their lips? You know what we did in church today? You could say this to any single person. We prayed for Ebola. Hey, is that good news? It's better than doing nothing. Better than, well, they're over there, don't bring it here. They're the same people, aren't they? My goodness, it gets me angry. I can't go there either. There's got to be public fruit, church. And the Colossians, they were producing fruit in their life and then something happened. Can we be point two? Allow your line to remain taut. The Colossians were good for a while. Who finds they can be good for a while? And then the wheels fall off. Or the prayer just suddenly dries up. Or the reading the word's really hard. Look, we all face that. But the point is to keep Jesus alive in your heart. And then these people change the way they behaved. Some of them, at least, it says in Colossae. See, the gospel produces fruit because of the passion and fervor of God's people toward heaven rather than earth. Hope is the cause of love. Look at this, verse 4 and 5, a bit of a culmination. They have love for all the saints because of their hope laid up in heaven. Your actions and behavior will show your focus. Is God reeling you in or are you reeling him out? Is God, put it another way, when your line is taut, you're on purpose with Jesus. You're allowing him to speak into your life and bring change to yourself and others. When you allow the line to just go where you want it to go, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. You move away from his tug on your life. Hope diminishes. I want us to be a people that are filled with the hope of the gospel, that's full of good news. And if you pull and tug for long enough, it's likely you'll sever that connection altogether. And you allow hope to well up in your heart today. And when you made a decision for Christ, you said you would make him Lord. Is he still Lord years later? Because of the hope that transforms us into being his people, full of acts of love and commitment to him. And it may be that you've allowed the line to go slack. It's not the end of the world. God still loves you. Just get taught again. Lord, I'm coming back. Reel me in. I'm here. I'm not going to go left, right. No, I'm with you, Lord. I want to be in heaven with you. My hope is heaven. My hope is those people that don't know him. I've got to stay in love with you, Lord, because too much is at stake. I think I was talking to a specialist this week, and he said, the world is a mess. He's a very intelligent man. He's done about, I don't know, probably 9-10 years study. And I had to go and see a specialist about an issue. I'm okay. I'm just, but an ongoing issue. And he said, Nigel, the world, it is, it's a mess. And I just happened to say, I'm glad, so glad we live in Perth. What a blessed place we live. And he couldn't deny that. But we're a blessing for a reason. Our love must be public. Third, your line stays tight with Jesus through the Spirit. Colossians 1:8, he's the only one who told us how thoroughly love has been worked into your lives by the Spirit. He's going to be pulling you up out of the world you know into his world by the Spirit's work in you. As you read and hear the Word of God and rely on the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in your life, who's glad for the Holy Spirit? We are a Pentecostal church after all. Who's glad we have the Holy Spirit? The Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about this more next week. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when we baptize people, we always say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Message Bible, Colossians 3, verse 1. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. That's pretty clear. There must be visible fruit from your life on the line with Jesus. Now, as you read the Word of God here, rely on the Holy Spirit. You should consciously transfer your affections off the world and onto the hope laid up for you in heaven. There will be visible fruit. You will act like a citizen of heaven more than earth. 1 Peter 1:13 says, set your hope fully on the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, the result will be the visible fruit of love. I don't know about you, but when situations like this occur, when I hear prayers like we did today, I always think, you know what? I reckon I could love a bit more. Anyone else feel that way? I reckon I could, you know, Lord, I was just reminded today, Lord, help me to pray more. Anyone else feel that way? Help me to pray more, Lord. By the grace of God, and it is by His grace, we will be visible fruit of love. Have visible fruit of love. We will be more patient and kind. Who'd like to be more patient and kind? We'll be less jealous and boastful, less arrogant, less self-centered. We will not just seek our own advancement, but will also help the advancement of others. We won't be so concerned about being wronged. It doesn't really matter so much because we are in love with Jesus Christ. We learn how to show love regardless of what's being shown to us. We will not speak about our friends or acquaintances' faults. We will rather show honour. We've all got faults, right? Am I the only one? We will return good for evil. We will overflow because we are well connected. Our line is taught to the things of the Spirit. This kind of love will transform your family and your church. And Jesus says that the world will see your good deeds and give glory to the Father. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Is anything better than a church whose hope is in good, is in God? And it's so strong that they gladly deny themselves in order to meet the needs of others. Oh, you're putting it that way, Nigel. Is that what Christ did for you? Did he deny himself? Did he put his life on the line for you and I? Time to stop pulling away. Time to stop doing things the way of this world. Time to get yourself right with Jesus and allow the word of his Spirit to put you in place of love, able to minister out of the good news. There's good news inside of you. There's good news that's going to come out of the vision of this house. There's good news going to come out of our prayer today. There's good news going to come as people in their connect groups pray for one another and they receive healing. There's good news because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to share before we finish up this morning a little passage that really clarifies this part of the scripture. There's a Bible story which demonstrates God's people performing acts of love by the power of hope. Who'd like to demonstrate more acts of love? Because hope is so strong in your life. And that really, you know, we can sacrifice because there's nothing that can take away the love of God from our hearts. That's the bottom line. And here's one from Hebrews. The background before we do this little story. The situation was that some of the church members had been imprisoned and the rest were faced with the moral dilemma of whether to go underground and save themselves or whether to go and visit the prisoners and risk losing life and possessions. It was after Stephen was stoned and many others were sent to prison. And the guards, as it turned out, the Roman guards, what they would do is they'd know that they'd go visiting the Christians and they'd raid all their houses. And so they basically end up with nothing. And the Apostle Paul himself, in his unregenerate state, had put some of these people in prison. And Hebrews 10:34 says, you suffered along with those who were thrown into jail when all you owned was taken from you. You accepted it with joy. That's a difficult scripture, don't you think, for a Western person to grasp? Would you agree? You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail when all you owned was taken from you. You accepted it with joy. You'd rather help another Christian brother or sister, and you don't really care about your possessions because your hope is in the heaven that is coming for you. Yes? I know it's Bible. I know you're believing with me, but You knew you had better things waiting for you in eternity, is what this scripture says. What was the power that drove them in love to the prison doors, knowing their houses would be plundered? Because you knew you had better things waiting for you. In the New King James Version, it says, because you knew you had a better and enduring possession. A better. Is there anything better, church? You had a better and enduring possession. Who's ever bought something and then 5 minutes later you realize, oh, I don't like that anymore? But Christ is not like that. He's enduring. It was hope that drove them to love. Who's on the end of your line? And if we were to lose our wealth, would we remain secure in Christ's love? Would we believe Jesus anymore? Our hope is not based on what we have on earth, but rather heaven. My concern is that many Western Christians love God on their terms. It was heavenly-mindedness that broke the power of the worldly love for furniture, for houses, for security, and it freed the saints to risk their lives in love. Do you think we could maybe just risk our lives a little bit? Let's determine today to be tight with Jesus. We can do that. I'm tight. Get your heart in the same place as the Christians of the early church. And I know it's different. I know we've got all these things coming at us. But let's determine to at least have Jesus as Lord of our life and do the main things really well. Yeah? Stop running out the line. Keep the line taut between you and God. And stay tight through the Holy Spirit in your life. Hope in Christ determines our actions for Him whilst we're here on earth.